Do you know what October 31st is besides Halloween? Now, let me give you a hint. It's one of the most important days in the history of the Christian church, and it affects everything about your life today. Everything. Thanks for joining me today as we approach this amazingly unique season of the year. This is Dennis Peterson, and you're listening to Reclaiming Your Legacy. It was on the 31st of October, 1517, that a Catholic monk named Martin Luther nailed his famous 95 Theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. By God's grace, Luther's courageous act of challenging corruption and unbiblical heresies launched the Great Reformation. But why is this legacy worth recalling, and how does it affect us today? On Reformation Days, October 31st, most American Christians seem more conscious of Halloween than of the Reformation. It appears that more of the children in our churches are celebrating pagan and dark, grotesque symbols of Halloween than the great spiritual revival that led to the birth of the Protestant Reformation. Halloween is celebrated by millions on October 31st each year with costumes and candy. Despite its Christianized name, Halloween stems from an ancient pagan Celtic religion that started nearly two centuries before the birth of Christ. The tribal Druids of Ireland and Europe offered end-of-harvest sacrifices at this beginning of winter to appease a Celtic demon that they called Samhain, the lord of death and of evil spirits. The early Gaelic Celts apparently believed that Samhain sent evil spirits into the world to attack humans, who could easily escape only by assuming disguises and looking like evil spirits themselves. Catholic Christians tried to form an alternative tradition by moving the celebration of All Hallows Day, that celebrated the lives of Christian martyred saints, from May to November 1st. So, November 1st is referred to as All Saints Day. In medieval England, that Catholic festival was known as All Hallows. The evening before, October 31st, was thus named All Hallows Eve, which became Halloween. Reformation Day, that is October 31st, commemorates Luther's posting of his 95 Theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, on October 31st, 1517. This one act triggered the Protestant Reformation because Luther's challenges to the church's practices were immediately translated and distributed all across Germany in a matter of weeks. The Protestant Reformation was the rediscovery of the doctrine of justification, that is, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, just like we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, that no one should boast. The century before the Reformation was marked by widespread dissatisfaction with the corruption of the leaders in the Roman Catholic Church and with its false doctrines, biblical illiteracy, and superstition. Monks, priests, bishops, and popes in Rome taught unbiblical doctrines like the selling of indulgences, the treasury of merit, purgatory, and salvation through good works. All Souls Day, or the Day of the Dead, is normally celebrated primarily by Roman Catholics on November 2nd. This is a day dedicated to prayer and almsgiving in memory of ancestors who have died. People pray for the souls of the dead in their hopeful belief to hasten their release from purgatory to heaven by being purged and cleansed from their sins. Spiritually sincere people were taught back then to redeem themselves by charitable works, pilgrimages, and all kinds of religious rituals. They were persuaded to acquire this merit, which was at the disposal of the church, by purchasing certificates of indulgence. This left them wondering if they ever did enough or paid enough to appease God's righteous anger and escape his judgment. That was the popular mindset that prompted Luther's desire to refocus the church on salvation by grace through faith on account of Christ, by imputation of Christ's righteousness to us. Now think of it. Almost 98% of medieval people couldn't read. They were spiritually oppressed by indulgences. They had no assurance of God's grace. Dr. Luther proclaimed the grace of God's acceptance for true saints. Instead of the treasury of merit that was for sale, Luther protested, The true treasury of the church, he said, is the most holy gospel of the glory and the grace of God. Life in Europe and England, not to mention the rest of the world, has changed drastically since 500 years ago. For both Christians and unbelievers, the time of the early 16th century when Martin Luther lived was radically different and desperate. It's obvious that modern technology's convenience were absent, but even common things that we take for granted, like clean water and comfortable housing, they were unknown. Western civilization has been blessed with the greatest freedoms, productivity, and prosperity ever known in history. The liberty and the standards of justice and creativity that we enjoy in Western civilization are direct results of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Don't miss why these amazing results occurred. What did Jesus say? "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Do you kind of get the feeling that our entire civilization has reaped the rewards of that very statement because of what happened 500 years ago? Martin Luther was passionate about finding peace with God. He studied the Bible so intently that it led him to challenge the unethical fundraising tactics of the papacy. That's what ignited the Protestant Reformation. Luther's love for the Word of God and his dedication to truth led him to challenge the entire ecclesiastical and political authority of the Roman Catholic Church and the Holy Roman Empire. Can we even imagine a society without freedom of conscience? Sometimes I think we miss the huge gravity of some things. Luther's courage to stand against the political and religious might of Europe was one of the most incredible acts of conscientious defiance in the history of the world. He argued for freedom of conscience based upon the authority of Scripture. Until then, the fear of man was preeminent. Luther feared God. All religions and cultures on earth bowed to a monarchy, an aristocracy, and authoritarianism. The formal Roman Catholic institution was corrupt. Luther and the reformers were convinced that man without God is hopelessly depraved, and no human authority could be trusted as absolute. He rejected ecclesiastical totalitarianism and championed the principle of sola scriptura. The Bible alone is our ultimate authority. Now, because of that, a whole lot of other things were affected. Luther, of course, translated the Bible from the original Greek and Hebrew into the common tongue of German. Everybody could now have access to it, both nobles and peasants. Luther championed education and literacy for everyone. He defended the priesthood of all believers. And what revolutionary concept did that one biblical principle lead to? Well, Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Everyone is under God's law. The reformers' principle of sola scriptura broke down ecclesiastical and political totalitarianism. The Protestant emphasis on the priesthood of all believers led to the concept of representative government and constitutional authority as the supreme law of the land. I guess that means that Christians can and should be involved in their own governmental jurisdiction. The law of the land? By emphasizing the biblical doctrine of faith as a gift of God, Luther undermined the Catholic Inquisition, and he provided the theological foundations for religious liberty and freedom of conscience. Religious liberty and freedom of conscience led to freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of association, and all the other outworkings of political and social freedom that we enjoy today. Few people today realize that the first Bibles printed in England had to be printed in Germany and smuggled into England in bales of cotton from Holland. The first Bible translator, William Tyndale, that is, into English, was executed by strangulation and his body burned at the stake for the crime of translating the Bible into English. Did you know that seven mothers and fathers were burned alive at Coventry, England, for their teaching of their children the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, and the Apostles' Creed in English? Burned alive! Just for teaching them the truths of Scripture. The sacrifices made by the reformers and the far-reaching impact of their courageous application of the Word of God to every area of life needs to be rediscovered today. The Christian church has made more positive changes on earth than any other force or cause in history. You know, when you think about it, most of the languages of the world were developed into a written system by Christian missionaries. More schools and universities have been started by Christians than any other religion, nation, or group. Christian reformers and missionaries have succeeded in bringing about the abolition of slavery, the end of cannibalism, the end of child sacrifice and widow burning. Those countries that enjoy the most civil liberties are those lands where the gospel of Christ has penetrated the most. The gospel of Jesus Christ is life-changing, history-making. It's nation-transforming, and if it doesn't change your life and the lives of those around you, then it's not the biblical gospel. The reformers understood God's sovereignty. They courageously proclaimed that Scripture alone is our final authority. Christ alone is the head of the church. Justification is by God's grace alone, on the basis of the finished work of Christ, received by faith alone. The reformers' teaching on the depravity of man, the new covenant in Christ, and church government have influenced positive political and social developments in liberty throughout the Western world and beyond, establishing checks and balances, the separation of powers, and constitutional authority. All of us are beneficiaries of this tremendous movement for faith and freedom. If you love liberty, you need to re-examine the history and principles of the Reformation. Before the Reformation, the church had no Bible, and a church without a Bible is as useless as a lighthouse without a light or a car without an engine. The priests and people knew scarcely anything about God's Word or the way of salvation in Christ. Now think of this. Our current generation of believers, not to mention the world learning corrupted revisionist history, is in danger of losing the profound legacy of courage that preserved Bible truths that are much forgotten today. The 16th century was the pivotal generation of martyrs who willingly laid down their lives to preserve the Scripture for us. That was providential. Why? Because the truths in the Bible are eternal and essential for communicating the heart of God and regenerating lost souls to gain eternal life. That's why it says in Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." You're listening to Reclaiming Your Legacy, and I'm Dennis Peterson, and I'd like to invite you, our Reclaiming Your Legacy listener, to discover our Legacy of Wellness for Life business team. Would you like to work from home, helping others around your busy schedule? Can you imagine having a team helping you to focus on enriching lives by discovering a legacy of wellness? Now, this month, I'll begin training a motivated self-starter like you, perhaps, who is ready for an exciting challenge and increasing rewards. Could you be the one who would like a fresh, mission-focused way to supplement your current income? Imagine helping people strengthen their finances with sensible, cost-saving discoveries. We're actually helping people find advantages of daily living with a priority on a legacy of total wellness. So, if you're serious about making the most of your time, why not call my voicemail so I can call you back? I'd love to talk with you. Write down my number. It's 866-867-9943. Now, it's a toll-free call. Write it down. 866-867-9943. If you're ready to build your own legacy even stronger by helping others with their legacy, this call won't be a waste of your time. 866-867-9943. Now, don't wait. This is not for the timid soul. Do what counts now. You know, parents, all of us who are parents, have an awesome responsibility. We're to bring up our children in the training and instruction of the Lord. We're to train a child in the way he should go. And according to 1 Timothy 3, verse 4, we're to manage our own family well and see that our children learn to obey with proper respect. Psalm 78, verse 4 and following says, "Tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done, so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be stubborn and rebellious like the previous generations, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him. The Bible tells us not to just raise God-fearing sons, but sons who will become God-fearing fathers, who in turn will raise God-fearing sons to become fathers who will love, honor, trust, and obey God. We are to raise disciples who raise disciples so that God's generational blessing is passed down and the chain is unbroken. I invite you to visit our website at reclaimyourlegacy.com and share our resources with your family and friends. And if your church or group would like to have us minister in person, just contact me. I truly trust that we can help you and your friends strengthen your life's purpose and reclaim your legacy. And you think of some of the things that we need to profess with a loud voice in our society today, maybe just reflect on what Martin Luther said. He said, "If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God's word, except precisely that point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, then I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing him. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved, and to be steady on all the battlefronts besides is mere flight and disgraced if he flinches at that point." You know, compromise and cowardice hurts everyone concerned. It's short-sighted. The Word of God commands us not to be afraid of any man. We're warned that the fear of man will prove to be a snare in Proverbs 29:25. It's cowardice for us to remain silent when we should speak up, to be passive and inactive when we should fight for what is right. Isaiah said in chapter 51, "Who are you that you should be afraid of a man who will die and a son of man who will be made like grass? You forget the Lord, your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth." The Bible tells us that God seeks godly offspring. It's the first priority of parents and teachers to ensure that children are taught to love God and His Word. Secular humanist education is attempting to kill God by eradicating Him from the classroom and from the minds of the next generation. By eliminating the Bible as the basis for all knowledge, humanists are removing the very foundation of truth. They're prohibiting the only objective standard by which reality can be evaluated. And that's why it says in Colossians, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ." Martin Luther wrote, "I am much afraid that schools will prove to be wide gates to hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures, engraving them on the hearts of the youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not constantly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt." In this culture war today, it's vital that we understand the war between creation and the theory of evolution. Science textbooks and museums are strategic battlegrounds in the world war of worldviews. We need to know the Word of God, and we need to know the God of the Word. We need to know God and to make Him known. It's vital that we know what we believe, why we believe it, and to practically know how to defend it in argument. It's also vital that we become effective soul winners. Christians must recognize that we're involved in a world war of worldviews. There is a war against God and against His Word, the Bible. In this battle for the mind, classrooms and cinemas are battlefields. Education is a battleground. The textbooks and the teachers are frequently promoting evolutionism, situation ethics, sex education, values clarification. Reality is being rearranged by selective focus in what Karl Marx declared the first battlefield, the rewriting of history. By twisting perceptions, secular humanists hope to steal our children and hijack our culture and our country. Much of the entertainment industry has been so subverted as to glamorize evil, popularize profanity, and celebrate ugliness, and it's the duty of Christians to support excellent Christian media. The philosophy of evolution, that's called a theory, is a vile attempt to get rid of God from society's thinking. Evolution destroys all meaning, all purpose, and direction. Justice and hope in life, the Scriptures declare, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They're corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. That's in Psalm 14. We're called to be the light of the world. All the darkness cannot put out the smallest light, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, it says in Habakkuk chapter 2. Young people have a far greater capacity for spiritual and social maturity than we give them credit for. Young people should be encouraged to go deeper, further, and higher for the Lord. The recent phenomenon of age-segregated Sunday morning worship should be reevaluated in the light of Scripture. The youth are not the church of tomorrow. They are part of the church today. The church is one body and has many members. And all the members of that body, being many, are one body, as also is Christ. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Parents should be raising up their children in the fear of God, in the fellowship with all believers. Church social events should involve families. Youth ministry should be returned to where it belongs, to families and fathers. It's a sad fact that many youth groups are doing more harm than good. It says in Proverbs 13, those who walk with the wise become wiser still, but the companion of fools suffers harm. Where are our children spending their time? With their peers? Or with those who have been around for a while? Many mainline denominations have been infiltrated by secular humanists. And what have they done? They've gutted the churches of the biblical gospel, and they've produced generations of spineless quasi-believers. Quasi-believers? Yeah. That's what many churches are filled with. Pseudo-saved, semi-saved, half-saved, unsaved pew-warmers who have never been truly converted. Nor have they come into a real relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So what are we going to do about it? We have an opportunity to be the ones who make a difference, who can make reformation. Maybe not in the whole spectrum of world history like Martin Luther, but at least reformation in the lives of those that we contact. Our families, our communities, our churches. What can we do now? What can we actually put our hand to make a difference? First, pray. Read the Bible. Talk to other people. Engage them in conversation, meaningful conversation. Not just what do you think about such and such. Not just about the latest sports event or the latest movies. But talk about the things that really matter. What's going on in the world today perhaps will draw us to make a difference in our lives and in the lives of those we touch. We can do that by God's grace and with His help. And I trust in the process we will reclaim our legacy. This is Dennis Peterson, and I want to thank you for joining me today on Reclaiming Your Legacy.